We're talking with Jennifer Houston here at the 2020 Cattle Industry Convention and Trade Show. Of course, Jennifer is the president this year of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Jennifer, this has been a remarkable year, as we kind of were talking about before we started recording. Almost mind-boggling how many things kind of finally came together for the cattle industry, even in the face of not the best markets in the world as well.
Absolutely. We've had a wonderful year. A lot of it's been due to many years of hard work by volunteer leaders and staff on things like the U.S. only beef quota of the European Union. You know, over 20 years ago was that first hormone ban, to the Japan trade deal, which after we dropped out of TPP, that was our number one priority, is to get a bilateral Japan. Got that out there this fall. Worked hard all year long on the ratification of USMCA. Finally got that across the finish line and signed last week. And then, of course, the phase one signing with China that I think most of us thought it would come, or hoped it would come, but never that soon. So this administration, in addition to the trade deals, we've been able to work on endangered species reform. We finally killed 2015 Waters of the U.S. and reissued a new set of rules this year. We have some really very important changes to the NEPA, National Environmental Protection Act, that really affects all of us, actually, but certainly our guys grazing on federal land. So just a tremendous year. Access to the White House. Our officers have been there multiple times. It's been a privilege. And somebody says it get old. I said never gets old to be there.
You've been there a bunch.
With history. Yeah, I have. I've been very fortunate. And, you know, I was the China deal. You'll appreciate this. I was there. It was great to be there anyway to see this historic signing. And I looked, and sitting right in front of me is Henry Kissinger. And so you look at that and you realize just how historic a day these trade deals are and how they last for years. And some of them will take some while, such as China, to get started. But long term, it's going to be great for the beef industry.
I know you've got to feel really good about the Chinese phase one trade deal because of the gains that we made on the phytosanitary, the non-scientific type barriers.
Absolutely. You know, we're not going to have to worry about the hormone ban, not going to have to worry about traceability, age restrictions, just much freer access, which will allow a much larger portion of our conventionally raised beef to be available for those Chinese consumers. You know, when you think about their middle class is bigger than our entire U.S. population, it's mind-boggling what the potential for that market is in China.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple of the other kind of success stories. The WOTUS deal, I think, is very, very notable because NCBA and perhaps Farm Bureau, very uniquely among all the agricultural organizations, seem to be the most vocal from day one as this thing came about during the Obama era.
We did. We knew it was just way too gray. It allowed too much interpretation by people that, you know, in the South, our tractor ruts probably could have been Waters of the U.S. because they stay filled with water with a good part of the year. But we're just really pleased, and EPA worked with us, the administration worked with us to come up with the new rules that are much more clear-cut, and it allows a farmer and rancher to really determine what is a Water of the U.S. and what's not. So we're really pleased, and it's hard to say or interesting to say sometimes, but we worked with EPA. It's not always been that way in the past. But again, this administration, the administrator is going to be here this week. So that's great to have him here with us at the Cattle Industry Convention.
You've had the opportunity to get out and talk to a lot of cattle producers at various state meetings and other events that you've gone and represented your organization at. You know, what are you hearing out in the country this year? In other words, what has been the mood of the producers that you've visited with?
Well, obviously markets. You know, we had the market disruption after the Tyson fire, and that's always on people's top of mind if we're not at the top of the market. But we're gonna work through that. Things are already more back to normal. The numbers we're just going to have to work through, but they're very optimistic. They're optimistic about these trade deals. There's just a lot of reasons that I think as we look forward that it's going to be a good time to be in the cattle industry. And so I'm also hearing that the guys are gearing up for it. They're gearing up replacements, or they're looking for more land to try to take advantage of when these new markets are expanded access to markets. I mean, we sold $2 billion worth to Japan with a 38.5% tariff. You know, what can we do when it drops immediately to the same as our competitors? What's going to be China when we start building relationships and supply chains and things like that? So I'm really optimistic about it. I think most of our cattlemen are feeling better. We really had a tough year last year, not only with the market and the fire and things like that, but that was on top of fires, floods, snowstorms. So some of these guys were just shaking their head and saying, what else is going to hit me? But I think these trade deals have given them a reason to be optimistic.
When you look at what NCBA is all about, you're about the policy, but you've also got the Federation side of things, and you've been kind of involved with the Federation down through the years as well. How important is it for NCBA to kind of be the umbrella for both of these sides of the beef industry?
There's a couple of really great examples of why that synergy works so well. Dietary guidelines is one. We're coming up, the committee's working on 2020 dietary guidelines. So the foundational research that the Checkoff does on nutrition has been doing for years, but they can put it out there, but they can't lobby. They can't go. You take our policy staff there in D.C., and they can go to all the meetings, and they can use that foundational research to tell this committee why beef needs to stay on the plate, needs to stay part of a healthy diet in the U.S. Sustainability is another thing. The life cycle assessments that our checkoff dollars paid for have allowed us to push back against people that want to make claims about the sustainability of the beef industry. They're just not true. We absolutely are sustainable. We've got a good story to tell. In fact, I tell people we're not the problem. We're part of the solution with the grasslands and the fact that our miraculous I call them four stomach. As an animal science major, I know that's not exactly true. But to a consumer, that allows them to use land that can't be used for anything else. We can't grow peas or soybeans on a lot of this rangeland that we go grasslands, and they sequester carbon. We've been told that there's more carbon sequestered in the Great Northern Plains than the whole Amazon rainforest. Now, that's a tremendous statistic, and it's there because of cattlemen and cattlewomen, ranchers that have been on that land for their whole lives.
You have had one thing that is kind of a challenge to the industry happen over the last year, and really, you know, a little bit before you actually took the office of president, but you were obviously in the officer chain, this whole conversation about what has been called fake meat. It seems like there's a lot of folks very aggressive about wanting to push the Impossible Burger or Beyond Meat.
Well, it's certainly been a media darling this year. But I think we are starting to get our message out, both on the sustainability front, as I just discussed, but also on the nutrition front. You know, what you get in 170 calories of a 3-ounce burger and zinc, iron, proteins, 10 essential vitamins, nobody can tell a story like that, much less doing that on land that maybe can't be used for anything else. It's too rocky, it's too airy, it's too steep. But we've had to really push hard because it is, whether it's plant-based butter or plant-based burgers, you hear it on the news all the time. But again, we've got a good story to tell. We just have to keep getting that message out and get the correct statistics out about the fact that we're less than 2% of the greenhouse gas used, transportation's over 25, energy production's over 25. We've got to have the conversation about the whole gamut, not just, I think we're the easy target. It's like drinking, you know, getting rid of plastic straws, eating an Impossible Burger and using a paper straw is not going to save the planet. You know, it's a much larger conversation that we've got to have. So we will continue to fight back against that on the plant-based side and if they come to market on the cell culture side, for sure.
Right. You know, you're wrapping up your kind of your tenure. You're rotating through the officer chairs. You've been involved in a lot of great things for the industry and some challenges as well. What's going to really stick in your mind that you're going to carry with you as you leave this office this year?
Well, I said something when I started this office that I believed was true, and I found that it is true, that there's more that unites us than divides us. And as I've traveled from the Northwest to the Southwest, Southeast, Northeast, and right through the Beef Belt, we have different resources. We use them in different ways, but we end up with the same high-quality product, and we're just the same folks. And we've got to... That's been the fun part of my job, is being able to tell them about what NCBA is doing for them and to get to know them and their operations and what's important to them. And it's really very similar, not only across the U.S., but frankly across the world.
I feel pretty optimistic about the beef business, as a producer and as obviously as a livestock marketer as well.
I do. I think it's a good time to be in the beef business. I think we're going to see some really good days ahead. We're going to see the fruits of our labor, whether it's less regulation, rollbacks on some of our regulation, not to mention our trade deals.